Chapter 13. I hear from old friends. It was a strange thing to sit in my own small house with Dora. It was wonderful to have her always there. I did not have to go out to see her anymore, or write to her, or find ways to be alone with her. Now we had no one to please but each other. My aunt had by this time sold her cottage in Dover at a good price. She and Mr. Dick lived in a small cottage near us. Peggotty had returned to Yarmouth to be with Ham. I do not think any two young people knew less about how to manage a home than Dora and me. We had a servant, Mary Ann, but she was awful at her job, and neither of us knew how to tell her. One of our first difficult moments at home came when my old school friend Tommy Traddles came for dinner. The two of us had become good friends again after he moved to London to study law. I could not have wished for a prettier wife at the end of the table, but I could have wished for more room. Jip's bed, Dora's flower painting, and my books left poor Traddles with very little room to use his knife and fork. I also felt very embarrassed when Jip walked on the table during dinner, and when we realised that the meat was not fully cooked.
"I'm very sorry," Dora said to me after Traddles had gone. "Will you teach me to manage our home?"
"I must teach myself," I said. "I'm as bad as you, my love."
"But you can learn. You're a clever man," she said. "You must think of me as your child wife, David."
My sweet, gentle child wife. I dearly loved her. I did sometimes want to talk more seriously with Dora and ask for her advice on important matters, but I could never be angry with her. One morning, I received a surprising letter from another old friend. "My dear sir, I have not written to you for a long time, and for that I am sorry. I have now left prison and my debts behind me. I live in the town of Canterbury with my dear wife and family, where I know you once found yourself. I am working for a man who I believe we both know, Uriah Heep. That man has now become a partner in the business of Wickfield and Heap. I am sorry to tell you, Mr. Copperfield, that he is a villain. It is very important that I speak to you about a very serious matter as soon as possible. Please come to Canterbury in 2 weeks' time and bring your aunt and anyone who could be useful to you in matters of the law. Wilkins Micawber." I replied to Mr. Micawber's letter, thanking him for this information and letting him know that I would come. I also went to see Tommy Traddles and asked him to join my aunt, Mr. Dick and me in Canterbury to hear Mr. Micawber's news. All this time, Mr. Peggotty had continued to search for little Emily. He went on many journeys to find her and asked many people to watch for her. He never seemed to get tired or lose hope. That evening, when Mr. Peggotty was visiting our home, he heard from someone who had seen Emily in London. We went to a house in a poor street and climbed the busy stairs. Doors of rooms opened and people's heads looked out at us as we went up to the top floor. There, Mr. Peggotty hurried into a room.
Uncle!
I heard, and then a frightened cry. When I looked into the room, I saw Mr. Peggotty holding little Emily in his arms. She had fainted from the shock of seeing her dear uncle again.
Master Davy, he said to me, my dreams have come true.
Early the next morning, when I was walking in the garden with my aunt, Mr. Peggotty came to tell us Emily's story. He looked down at his cap for a moment before beginning to speak. Then he told us that Steerforth had left Emily suddenly in Italy. From there, she travelled to France and then back to England. But she felt so terrible about what she had done that she did not feel that she could return home to Yarmouth.
All night, he said, we have been together. All night her arms have been around my neck, and her head has laid on my shoulder, and she has told me her story. She knows now that we can trust each other always.
We were all silent. What will you do now, Mr. Peggotty? I asked after a little time.
We will start our lives again, Master Davy, over the sea, he said. No one will know my girl in Australia. We will leave on the next boat in 2 months from now.
The time had come to visit Mr. Micawber in Canterbury, but my aunt was very worried about leaving Dora behind. For some reason, she had grown thin and quite unwell. But Dora would not allow my aunt to stay. So my aunt, Mr. Dick, Traddles and I went down to Canterbury that night. We had agreed to meet Mr. Micawber at our hotel the next morning.
Gentlemen and madam, cried Mr. Micawber when he came. Good morning.
Mr. Micawber, said my aunt, we are ready to hear what you have to tell us.
Madam, you will soon hear it, Mr. Micawber said. In 5 minutes, please come to the offices of Wickfield and Heap and ask to speak to Miss Wickfield.
My aunt and I looked at each other, then nodded. Soon, we all walked together to the old house without saying another word. We found Mr. Micawber at his desk. I said loudly,
Good morning, Mr. Micawber. Is Miss Wickfield at home?
Mr. Wickfield is ill, he replied, but Miss Wickfield would be happy to see old friends. Please come in, sir.
He opened the door of Mr. Wickfield's old office, and we saw Uriah Heep in his chair. I had not seen Uriah for a long time. Our visit seemed to surprise him as much as seeing him there surprised us. He quickly forced his shocked stare into a humble smile.
Well, this is a nice surprise, he said. Mr. Copperfield, I hope you are well. Miss Trotwood, things have changed since I was a humble boy, but I have not changed.
I did not give a reply because at that moment Agnes entered the room. She looked worried and nervous, but as beautiful as always.
You can go, Mr. Micawber, said Uriah.
Mr. Micawber just looked at him.
Micawber, did you hear me? Asked Uriah. Go. You and I will talk later. I will not go, said Mr. Micawber firmly. If there is a villain on this earth that I have talked to too much, his name is Heep."
Uriah fell back on his chair and slowly looked around at us. Mr. Micawber then pulled a large letter from his pocket and began to read aloud from it. It was a very long and carefully written letter that described all of Uriah's crimes since he had become Mr. Wickfield's business partner. We all held our breath. I am sure that Uriah held his. "First," said Mr. Micawber, "when Mr. Wickfield became confused for reasons that I will not discuss here, Heap made him sign important documents. These documents allowed Heap to take money from Mr. Wickfield's wealthy clients. Second, Heap copied Mr. Wickfield's signature on important documents. I have here in this book many of these documents. Third and last, Heap forced Mr. Wickfield to make him his business partner by making him believe that he was bankrupt. I have documents that show all of this and probably much more."
Agnes was sobbing. Mr. Micawber handed his letter to my aunt as if it were something she might like to keep. Uriah walked to a locked cupboard and saw that it was empty.
"Where are all of my documents?" he cried. "I have them," said Mr. Micawber.
My aunt listened to everything quietly, then surprised us all by taking hold of Uriah Heep's jacket.
"You know what I want," she cried. "My money! Agnes, my dear, all of my money was held here by your father, but I did not tell anyone that he was the reason that I lost it all. Now that I know this villain took it, I will have it back."
"Traddles, what can we do?" I asked.
"You must pay everything back, Uriah," said Traddles. "I will look through the documents that Mr. Micawber now has. Copperfield, go to the police station and ask for some officers. I am sure that you will go to prison for your crimes, Heap."
Uriah walked slowly towards me and said,
"Copperfield, I always hated you."
"You have always hated the world, Uriah," I replied.